in the beginning of this week, Monday, I had to go to Nelson. So I needed a ride because I booked my tickets thinking that Sam's going to be here. So when Sam's here, yeah, he'll just drop me off and pick me up whenever is needed. So I booked my tickets based on that. So it was about 9:20-ish that I picked up. I thought, okay, he'll drop me off. And then I realized he won't be there and Nathaniel's not there. And I could not find anybody. And my friend, his name is Lazarus, some of you know. So he knew that I was looking for a ride. And he gives me a call in the morning or the day before. And he says, hey, I will drop you off. And I was like, yep, cool. So he said, what time do you want me? And I said, oh, with the traffic and stuff like that, 7:30 would be good. And he said, yeah, I'm going to drop my wife off, and then I'll come see you. And I said, oh, what time do you drop your wife? He said, 7:30. And I was like, oh, it's going to be a little bit tricky. So I said, oh, don't worry, I'll send my wife on the bus, and I'll come pick you up. And I'm thinking. And I'm like, because then my crooked brain, the humanness, started, why is he doing this? And also then it goes a bit further. The thing is, because his son lives in Nelson. And I'm thinking, okay, he's coming to drop me off because he wants to give me something to carry so that I can give it to his son. And I'm like, okay, so better make some room in my luggage so that I can actually take it. And I didn't ask him. So I'm like, okay, cool. And I was expecting this. And I went and I came sharp dot before 7:30, picked me up, dropped me off in time. And as I was getting down, I was still expecting something. And he just said bye and drove off. And I felt like a fool, honestly. And I'm like, I was so worked up on this night. I was expecting him to doing something for me with something that he wanted me to do. And this blew my mind. And as I was on the plane, it really sort of spoke to me. And I thought, how, as humans, this is what we do. When somebody wants to do something to us nice for a change, you're always wondering, what's this all about? Why is he doing it? What are the motives? What are the ulterior motives? And all these sort of things. And the same sort of mentality we take to God too. When the word of God completely says it is not according to your works because Jesus has done everything, you just need to receive. You need to just believe and receive. And you're the righteousness of God and you got everything that God has for you. You're a child of God. We do know all of these things, but we're like, oh my goodness, there should be some catch somewhere. God can't be this good. If God is so good, somewhere he's going to put some tricky situation in my life and he's going to say, you're going to some nation. I'm not going to take a name of a nation because you will think, no, you'll think some nation that you don't want to go. Let's say Mongolia. There's no one here from Mongolia. So Mongolia, I don't want to go there. That's what we'll think. I don't want to go to someplace. I don't want to go to USA. So you'll think there's some catch, but I want to just reiterate again here this morning to say, hey, when we come into the presence of God, just receive it. Don't overthink about what he's going to ask you, what he's not going to ask you. What is the catch there? And like I was thinking, and it was very, very unusual. And God really spoke to me and I said, hey, just receive. When I give you something, just take it. And there are no catches in it. And like your friend, I'm not going to ask you to take anything for him. But I'm just going to say, I want to bless you. I want to just help you. And that's what it is. And also a couple of things that has happened. On Friday, there's somebody who parks here through the week. So we got a bit of an issue with him. So we've been nice to him. And so what we did was we put a note on his car and said, hey, please don't park because it is really tight for us. Can you? So he ignored it. And then we put another note on his thing last Friday. And he came back on Friday. He literally threatened Nathaniel and he said, you'll have trouble if you put another note on my car. And so I was like, okay, so when I heard, I was not here, I was home, I was with a friend of mine, I saw it later on, and he said, my son said, someone threatened me. Man, the father in me just rose up as, not that I'm a big man, not that I've got any authority, not that I've got anything, but just the fact that somebody actually threatened my son got me going, I could not. Honestly, I could not. It was when I looked at the text, it was 6:40. By the time I saw it, it was about 7:40. But still, I drove here just to see what happened. But they were deep in worship with the kids, so I didn't want to disturb them, so I walked back. But it just woke me out as I was driving back, and I thought, man, it woke me up so much that somebody dares to threaten my son. And then straight away I felt God say, hey, if that's how you feel about your son, can you imagine how I feel about you? That was so powerful for me. And I wanted to share it with you to say, hey, God feels the same about you. God feels like anybody, anything that's going on in your life, he is not some spectator seeing out there and wondering and just waiting, but he is saying, hey, I want to do something. I'm going to different. I'm going to come. And also, in other words, he's saying, hey, I've done it all. You just need to receive it. You just need to receive it. So these are completely, by the way, something way outside of what I was going to preach. But then this is just that. Encourages you to know that our God is an awesome God. And these are things that God's been speaking to me and saying, hey, I got your back. It's not based on who you are or what you're doing. And another story, what happened is yesterday, I'm telling you a lot of stories, which I hope they'll help you. Yesterday, Sunita and I wanted to take my in-laws out to have something to eat. So we went to this Indian place just up the road on Universal Drive. We went there and it was completely packed. They said, oh, you can't park here, da-da-da. So I'm like, okay, so what's going on? And they said, we're really, really busy. And we're like, why? Sunita went to see what was going on. And they had this little marquee on the side in the parking lot. And they're having a little worship session for their goddess. Man, I looked at it and I thought to myself, oh my goodness. This is in their car park. They've got this little tent about that size. And it says something to worship their deity of someone they're worshiping. And I thought to myself, and I was a little bit taken aback, and I said, this is New Zealand, da-da-da. But then I thought, okay, God. But then somehow God started speaking to me and said, hey, they're doing what they're doing out of genuineness. They're going after the God that they know. And I was really convinced and convicted, not in a bad way, not to put myself under any condemnation, but I thought, okay, we know the truth. We have the truth. We have Jesus in our lives. But hey, how do you want us to show yourself to the people around me? I can be upset. I can be angry. I can be this and I can be that. But at the end of the day, what am I going to do with God that dwells in me? What am I going to do with people around me? Am I going to be upset with me, or am I going to be blessing them in their ignorance? And they're doing everything that they can to appease their gods, to have a good life. But here I am, knowing fully well that they're going the wrong way. Not that I'm going to go there and stand and preach, but I'm saying, okay, God, you've got to tell me something. Or more than anything, I want us to pray as a church that God will give his compassion for us. We don't need methods of evangelizing. We've got enough methods for evangelizing, but we need the heart for evangelizing. That's the biggest thing that we lack as Christians. We think it is our duty. It is not our duty. We're taught that it is our duty. We thought it is our responsibility. But I want to take it to another level and say, hey, this is something to do with the heart of a man. This is something to do with my heart. I don't do things. I don't want to do things because it is my responsibility or because it is my duty. But I do things. I share because there's something that God has put on my heart. There's a passion, there's a compassion that God puts on our heart. And I want God to do the same thing for each one of you, that he will put a heart of compassion over your hearts so that you can actually see what God wants you to do, so that you can actually go and see people get to know God. Because we're talking about eternities, we're not just talking about a good life here, maybe another 20, 30, 40, 50 years at the max. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about eternity. And so with that said, let us just say, God, please give us a heart of compassion. All right. I think now we can finish and go home. That's more than enough. But I put a lot of time and effort, so I'm going to finish what I said, what I was going to say now. So visualize who God says you are. This is another thing that I want you to catch. In the scripture portion that we put in the booklet is, As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7 says that. And also Proverbs 29, 18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that knoweth the law, happy is he. And Proverbs 29:18, in the Message, it says, if people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what he reveals, they are most blessed. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6 says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because you have rejected knowledge. I also will reject you from being the priest for me because you have forgotten the law of your God. I will also forgot your children. But it says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. We struggle with knowing what God thinks about us. And again, it says, as a man thinketh, so is he. If you look at it, thinking processes, I'm sure some of you are looking at me, but you're completely not here. I know that fully well. You're looking at me, you're nodding your head, but you're somewhere. Maybe you're cooking lunch or you're thinking about what you're going to do. Maybe Sean's thinking of something else that's going to happen in the cafe, or you're thinking of dealing with some conflict that you need to deal with straight out of the service. So you're actually thinking, and in your thinking, you're not looking at T-H-E, the. You're not looking at words, but you're actually looking at pictures right now. You're looking at pictures, you're seeing things. You're thinking in pictures, you're seeing things. So as a man thinketh, or in other words, as a man seeth, so is he. So the thing is, you're replaying some of the things that you're going to do as soon as this Indian finishes off. I need to go this place. I need to meet with you're already gone from here. But the thing is, what I'm trying to say is, you're thinking, you're seeing pictures, you're visualizing things. As I was preparing for this message, God dropped this on my heart. And he said, you know, the first thing that God created, he said, let there be light. I'm like, why would he first do light? He could have done something else and brought light. But the first thing that he did was let there be light so that we can actually see. And it says, let there be light. And it says, God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. So that you and I can actually see. We are people who see. We are people who think in pictures. We are people who dream. Do you dream in reading a book? No, you dream in pictures. You think in pictures. Everything that you do are pictures. If I say, I've used it before, if I say a black dog, you're seeing a black dog. You're not seeing B-L-A-C-K-D-O-G. You're not saying you are actually seeing a black dog. But also, the interpretation of the black dog is based on your experience. Some of you are looking at a big black dog. But I haven't said a big black dog, but you're seeing it because you have seen a big black dog in your past. Or if I say a black dog, you're looking at a little poodle right now because that's what you've seen. So we do see things in pictures. We think in pictures. Everything is a visual. Thinking is seeing or playing pictures in our minds. So it is important to visualize. It is important what we are seeing. If we are not seeing the right things, you and I are mucked up. And also the thing is, visualization right now is used by people in the sport, people in high professional careers. They talk about visualizing. They're told to see. The thing is, that's the reason if any of you play golf or any other sport, or rugby, when you see the guy who's kicking a goal, you see that he is standing there. I'm thinking, come on, you've been kicking it all your life. Come on, kick the ball. You're straight in front of it, just kick the ball and it's going to go, no, he will do the measure thing, go sideways, stand there and is shaking. I'm like, kick the ball. How many of you are saying that? Kick the ball, come on. And especially when time's running out and the opposition is kicking the ball and you're on the losing end, you're just losing by a couple of points and this guy is taking his time visualizing the thing. I'm like, come on. And the thing is, the reason is that they're taught to actually visualize, to see the path of the ball, the wind and everything, and they actually see it. And that's the reason you see the guy look at the ball, and I'm like, nah. But the guy's looking at the ball, and I'm like, he's looking at the path. And then he misses it. I'm like, seriously, you wasted my time. But anyway, So they are taught to visualize. They're taught to see. And then if you look at it, if we teach this in a church to visualize what God is saying, some people will come across you and say, that is not of you. That is not of the Bible. That is of God. That's of the devil. I'm like, seriously, it's not. These people who are using it in the world have actually picked it up from the Word of God, and they're using it. And we in the church, we don't talk about it. And then another thing is meditation. Meditation is another thing that is the in word right now. Everything is about your meditation, yoga. This is all Indian stuff that is going on. I'm like, I really get upset with it, because this is all meditation. The Bible says clearly, Joshua chapter 1 verse 8, meditate the law, meditate the word of God day and night. That was written so many years back, and now these guys are saying, oh, meditate God. And we're all like, oh, everybody in the developed world is like, oh, this is so good. This is completely different to Christianity. This is so good, Eastern religion. Nonsense. Anyway, meditation is from the Bible. So you and I need to be people who start to visualize what God is saying. And we need to be people, when we visualize it, we need to start to meditate. Meditation is thinking. When you're thinking in pictures. You're thinking in visual. So my dear friends, this morning, if you don't get anything, start to see pictures according to the Word of God. Start to meditate on what the Word of God says. So Joshua chapter 1 verse 8 says, the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. This is what the world has taken, and they've turned it all around. And they're teaching, and they're making millions of dollars. These so-called gurus are making millions of dollars. They're teaching about meditation. I get excited about it. So these are principles from the Bible, but we have lost it. We don't use them. But before we go any further, I said, visualize all that God says about you. That's another problem. The problem is, we as Christians have the Creator God as our God. And He calls us by our name. And He says, you're my child. And that's the God we have. But that God who talks about us, we behave like we are orphans. We are not. We act like, or we live like orphans. We don't live like the sons and daughters of the Most High God. We don't do that. So that's what I want to concentrate on this morning. But the problem is, we do have self-esteem problems. We, all of us, have self-esteem problems. We have self-worth problems. We have self-confidence problems. We do have all of these. And because of that, and we base our self-esteem, our self-confidence, and all these sort of things based on what people have said. What people have said about you. Oh, my father called me this. My mother said this. My brother said this. My so-and-so has said this about me, so I have absolutely no confidence. Or we say, or based on what I do. Our confidence is based on what people have said, or based on what we do or what we do not do. Or based on what we have or what we do not have. Again, on my flight to Nelson, there was a guy in his mid-30s, I think, who came and sat just beside me. And the moment he sat, I could smell alcohol on him. And straight away, he realized that he was smelling alcohol. He sat beside me, and he just wanted to make sure that he was qualifying himself. And he says, oh, I've just had a bit of a drink because I am nervous flying. I said, oh, yeah, cool. And then he said, oh, I don't mind. I'm a fisherman. And he says, I fish. I can go 400 miles into the sea, but I'm okay, but just flying. So he was just giving me, justifying his smell. And then I thought, okay, yeah, I really don't care. Honestly, I was like, okay, this is only an hour and 15. If it was 10-hour flight, maybe I would have thought otherwise, but this is only an hour, 15-minute flight. And usually they do it before then. So I thought, I really don't mind at all. So I was sitting there. And then he doesn't stop there. And he wants to qualify. And he says, I'm a fisherman. I'm a deep sea fisherman, blah, blah, blah. And I said, oh, cool. And then also he wants to qualify a little bit more. And he says, hey, I'm going to Nelson to fix this expensive equipment. This is just in my bag, which is about $20,000 worth of equipment that I'm going to fix. So I'm like, yeah, cool. But when I heard this guy, he was trying to qualify himself and say he was trying to tell me who he was. And he was trying to tell me the reason that he was smelling alcohol because of this, and the reason that I'm a fisherman. And I thought to myself, it is so strange. Not strange, it's just very common that we qualify ourselves based on who we are or what people have said about us, or based on what we do. I'm a fisherman, I'm da-da-da-da. And then based on what we have. I've got $20,000 worth of equipment with me. So that's what we are. We usually talk about, we say, hey, I'm a pastor. The first question that I get is, how big is your church? At that moment, I say, bye. This is me. Don't think about me. No. So this is who we are. We say, we're based on who we say, who people say I am. You say, I'm so-and-so, but I do so-and-so thing. And this is what I do. So that's what we qualify on. And based on that, I might be feeling high today because my wife was nice to me this morning. I am high this morning, but maybe tomorrow she's not that nice to me. So my self-confidence is down now. And somebody comes across and says, hello, and I'm like, hello. But the same person said hello to me the day before, and because my wife was nice to me, I'm like, hi. The same thing. It is based on what people around us have said or what we have achieved. That's when our self-esteem and self-confidence is up. But you know what? Our God says that you are my beloved even before you and I have done anything. He's not saying that at the end of the journey, but he's saying that at the beginning of the journey. And as I was meditating on it, as I was thinking of it, God really dropped this again on my heart. He says, the reason that he says that he's well pleased with so-and-so is not based on the person, but it is based on him. I hope I can explain it to you well. All right. So Chelsea is there. Chelsea is my daughter-in-law, daughter, whatever. She is whatever. No, she is. She's not here, so we can say whatever we want to say. So Chelsea is in our family. Now I can actually say to Chelsea, I said, Chelsea, you are my beloved, in whom I'm well pleased. You're mine now. You're ours now. You got the con regular. You have achieved it. That's it. You got the K. You're CK now. This is it. You're it. I'm well pleased with you. You're my beloved. I'm well pleased. Well, some of you are thinking, oh, just wait for a couple of years and then say this. I know you're saying that in your minds, but if I give you the microphone, if I can read your minds, everyone's saying, just wait for another few months and then I'll see if you'll say the same thing. Well, the thing is, it is not based, I'm trying to explain God. So it is not based on who she is, but the call that I give her and the acknowledgement that I give her is based on who I am. So what I'm saying is, Chelsea, you are my beloved. I am making this choice, and I'm saying you are my beloved, and I'm saying I'm well pleased. Doesn't matter what, how you are, you're mine now, and this is your mine. And the same way God does too, when God puts his hand on you, when you acknowledge God, God is saying, you are my beloved. And it is not based on what you do or what you don't do. And the same thing with Chelsea too. I'm sure we'll have issues in life. If you think there are not going to be any issues, I'm dumb. I'm not. But there are going to be issues. But I have determined, even before we've gone there, how I'm going to deal with it. It might be challenging, but I've already decided that this is how we're going to deal with it. And the same thing with God too. What God is saying is, hey, the reason that I call you beloved, the reason that I call you, I'm well pleased with you, is not based on what you do or what you don't do. Because of the capacity that I have, I'm calling you that you are my beloved. Can you see that? Can you see that? I know you still find it a little bit hard. But you got to get a hold of this. When you get a hold of this, it completely changes the way you live your life as a Christian. You live in the authority that God has given you. You live in the authority. You're not trying to prove anything to God, but you're walking in God with the boldness that you are his beloved. When you are his beloved, you walk in a different way. When you know, I'll give another example. My dog knows he is the beloved in the house. Man, he will play. He knows he's the dog of the house. He knows it, and he will behave like that. He knows it, and he gets away with anything, everything from all of us who live in the house. The reason that I say is he knows, and once we went to the vet, and I said, hey, he doesn't eat too well, and he's very picky and choosy, and the vet was like, yeah, I know. These dogs, these breeds know that they're loved, and they know that they're cared for, so they're like, eh, if I don't eat now, the food's going to be there. So they don't mind, they don't pounce on you to eat their food. They know if they don't eat now, food will be there later on in the evening, or food will be there tomorrow. So they're cool. They don't care. And I thought, oh my goodness, because they know, the dog knows that he is loved, and he knows that the food is going to be there. And yesterday I was saying to Sunita, I said, if I had the mentality of my dog, I'd be doing so well with God. I'd be like, ooh, I'll be walking up and down, like, I own this place. I know every need of mine is met. I know food's going to come when I'm hungry. They're going to take me out to pee when I need to. I'm the dog. I'm it. He knows it. The reason that he knows it is because he knows that he's loved by the people. And the same thing, you and I need to get this onto our heart, that we are loved by God. God, I used to have a picture many years back that God was sitting on the throne with a whip in his hand, gray beard, long beard, sitting like this, looking down to see when Sanjay was going to do something wrong and he can actually pick up his whip and whip me. And then, yeah, I was just waiting for you. That's the picture I had. And I'm sure some of you still have the picture of that, of God waiting to see that you make a mistake and he's going to whack you. Well, my God is not that. And if that's the picture that you have of God, man, you're way out of alignment with God. My God is a God of love. Of course, the Bible says he'll discipline me. He'll challenge me. He'll question me. All of this comes because of a relationship, because of a loving relationship. How many of you, if you're told, this is me, and I'm sure you're too, if somebody comes in, I'll like talk to my hand, I'm not going to do it. You come ask me nicely, I'll go extra mile and do it for you. But if you're like, I'm like, okay, I could do it in the next 5 minutes, but I'll do it in the next 5 days. That's who I am. That's who we are. The thing is, when we know that there is a loving relationship, we will actually go much more further. And God is that, and he wants to say to us, hey, I love you. I love you. And it's not that, and also people say, oh, if you know that God is only a loving God, we will go and sin. No, we won't. If you know that you're loved by God, you and I will actually go the extra mile and listen to God and to see what God has for us. And that is what it is that I want to say. And also the thing is, if you look in the Bible, God always gave pictures to you and me. All right, the story of Abraham. When God promised Abraham that he was going to give him, when he did not have a son, he was going to give him, and he said, I'm going to bless your generations. And the thing is, the guy could not fathom because he did not have a child. But then he was getting old. So in this picture, what he says is God takes him out and he says, come out of your tent. And he says, look at the stars. And he looks at the stars and he says, count them. Start counting them. And he starts counting and he says, no, I can't. And he says, I can't. And he says, that's how many your descendants are going to be. I'm like, I'm sure there was Abraham rolled his eyes and said, you're right, God. And then he says, get out of your tent and step out into the sand. And he says, hey, look at the sand and see. And he says, can you count them? No. And he says, that's how many you're going to have. That's how many descendants you're going to have. And I'm like, seriously, God? Seriously? But also, as I was thinking of it a few years back, he said, for the night, there were the stars. So God gave him two pictures for the day and the night. So in the night when he went out, because in those days they didn't have all these lights and fancy things, and they did not have Facebook, and they did not have all those sort of things. They just had to go out and sleep and look up at the skies and start counting the stars. That's the best thing that they could do. So that's what they did. So God gave him some picture to actually go out. And when he stepped out, he could actually feel the sand. And he always knew that that's how many descendants he was going to have. So this is what God usually gives pictures to people. And also we know the story of Elisha. Elisha knew that there was an army that came against him. And his servant was really petrified. And he says, hey, why are you so calm? Why are you okay? And he says, God, please open the eyes of my servant. When he opens the eyes of the servant, he could see. And his servant said to him, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" So he answered, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see." Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. He saw these armies of the living God all around him. So we need to be people. God wants us to see things. And I want to close quickly, but I want to leave a bit of hunger in your heart. And that's the reason we created that booklet. If you aren't using it yet, please use that booklet. And if not, just go through the scriptures and see what are the verses which talk about you and God, where he's saying, "I love you." And the thing is, God says, you are loved. There's a guy called Greg Morse who wrote this beautifully of the prodigal's return. "The wayward son braces himself for a slap, but receives an embrace from the Father." That's how we are too. We're bracing ourselves for God to do something. But it's like, no, I'm here to embrace. So what are the, God says we are loved. God says you are loved. God says you are his. God says you are worthy. God says you have purpose. And God says a lot more things about you. So you and I need to actually go through these things. There's another guy who wrote about redemption. He says, "The truth I have to remind myself just about every day. The fight has already been won. Yet I too often live as if my self-efforts is required to make up for past struggles and efforts that I need to earn the grace that is already mine." You and I don't need to. I have chosen you. You are now a saint, a servant, a steward, and a soldier. Acts chapter 1, Romans chapter 1, 7. Acts 26, 16. 1 Peter 4, 10. 2 Timothy 2, 3. You are a witness and a worker. The scriptures go on and on and on and on. The only thing is you and I need to just go through those scriptures and start to believe in what God says. When you believe, see, when God says you are the righteousness, when God says you are the righteousness, you are the righteousness. Because when God sees you and me with the blood of Jesus on us. So you are perfect. You are God's. But then also, there's some of us, we may be thinking right now and saying, okay, if that's the case, you were basically saying I can live the way that I want and God still loves me. Yes, he does. But also, if you really are in love with God, you will not live the life the way you live. If you're really in love with someone, you would not live the life the way that you want to live, because you will, because of the love that you're in, you will actually make all the changes that you want to make changes. So this is what you and I need to get. I am not what I do. Okay? Confess this and say, I am not what I do. I am not what I have. I am not what people say about me. I am the beloved of God. It's who I am. That's what, just meditate upon it and just go about it and keep saying about it. The Bible says, visualize, see, and confess with your mouth. Believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, and you will see God come through in your life. And when you feel like you are worthless, somebody will come and say to you, you're good for nothing. About 20 years back or 22, 23 years back, there was one of my bosses who said to me, you're good for nothing. He said, you're good for nothing. You're not a leader. You are nobody. And what happens is you will cling on to that and you'll get a hold of it. And it took me a long time. But now if somebody says that to me, I'm actually going to say, I am not what I do. I am not what I have. I'm not what people say about me. I am the beloved of God. It's who I am. And when you keep on confessing this and just because you are popular doesn't mean that you're going to be popular for the rest of your life. You are not going to be popular for the rest of your life. Just because you got a great position, it is not going to stay for the rest of your life. You're going to be in that position for just a period of time. And I'm also very aware that as a pastor, there is a period of time that I'm going to be a pastor. What happens when I finish pastoring? Do I lose everything and do I go into a hole? No, I don't go into a hole. But I step into something that God has for me, which is after pastoring. The same thing for each one of you. Whatever you're doing right now, maybe it's a great thing that you're doing. Enjoy it. Maybe it is not a season that is not going well for you. Enjoy it and be in it and don't be worried about it, because there's another season that is coming which is going to be completely different, and it is going to look different because you are not who the world says. You are not what you do. You are not what you've got. There are people who have had a lot of money and a lot of things, but they just left. Then what happens to you? The car that you drive, the house that you live, the locality that you live changes just like that. That is not what it is to be built on, because they will go for sure one day. I got a nice house and stuff, but one day I will have to downsize myself. And that's what it is. And things will change in life. But when we are grounded and see God in the midst of it, and we are saying, I am not what I do. I am not what I have. I am not what people say about me. I am the beloved of God. It's who I am. When you declare that, when you start to pray about it and speak about it, that's when you will see God come through. With these thoughts, I want to leave you. I want you to take a few moments, and I don't know what you're struggling with. Maybe there are things in your life that you're just struggling with, a few things, and maybe you're struggling with your identity. Maybe things are not going well. Maybe things are going really well. You're making a lot of money. And you got a lot of friends. Maybe you got a great fan following on your Facebook. But make one comment about God and all your fan base will disappear. I'll tell you that. You think you got 1,000 friends, and you make one solid, strong statement about what you believe in God and who Jesus is. Boom! They're all gone. You might think you're very popular, but you make one strong comment about your belief systems and what you believe in, who you are, bang, you're gone. Your friends are gone. So don't base your life around what people think or how much money you're making, what area of the city that you live in, what car you drive in. But just know that your God is your Father. And also this morning, I want us to pray for those people that do not know a God as his Father. Let's just pray. Take some moments. I'll just give you a few more moments just to let this settle into your heart. But also I want to challenge you, go back and look up the Bible. Read with an openness and say, God, reveal yourself in a fresh way.